We need to find that out.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Mark Noel. I'm the chair of the District Education Council. And I want to say, first of all, welcome. And thank you for welcoming us here tonight. And we're going to have a number of presentations. But before we do, I just wanted to mention, and I know they introduced themselves already before, but thank you to the council that are here, to district staff that are here as well. And we would ask, if it hasn't already been said, Becky, make sure we get a copy of this presentation. So that's important. So with that, there are a number of presentations, but we're going to introduce Becky McIntyre, and she's going to come, and then all the rest will introduce themselves. So we'll get right into the presentations. And again, thank you for allowing us to be here to be a part of this, and we look forward to it. So, Becky.
Hello, my name is Becky McIntyre, and I am the chairperson for the McAdam Elementary PSSC, as well as the co-chair for McAdam School Advisory Committee, which is presenting here tonight. I would like to thank everyone in the community for being here tonight. This is an important night in the future of our village. I know it's cold out, but the skate rink's open, so everybody's happy. I would also like to take the time to thank the DEC for removing the option that would bus our children to Harvey Elementary. That was a load off our shoulders. Our committee tonight is made up of members from both the McAdam Elementary and McAdam High PSSC Committee, as well as citizens from the community. We have prepared a presentation tonight that should demonstrate to you the importance and viability of McAdam Elementary in our community. This presentation was given unanimous support by the community at a public meeting held on November 9th. We will begin our presentation with a video about McAdam and where we are heading. This video was done by a university student here from McAdam. Thank you.
McAdam, New Brunswick, open for business. Looking to start or relocate your business? Although there is a multitude of reasons to start or relocate in McAdam, we will be touching on several important factors, which include population proximity, transportation, workforce, tourism, amenities, lifestyle, real estate, land availability, utilities and low property taxes, and recent development. Population proximity. Firstly, due to the location of McAdam, by starting or relocating, you can maximize revenues and minimize costs. McAdam is nestled in southwestern New Brunswick, making it an ideal geographic location. With accessible transportation, your business can have access to 74 million people within a 12-hour drive, or 670 miles. It's a close proximity to the eastern seaboard of the United States, the Maritimes, Quebec, and Ontario, making McAdam open for business. Transportation infrastructure. McAdam also has easy accessibility to many modes of transportation. McAdam is located just 11.6 kilometers from the United States border crossing at Vanceboro, Maine. It's only 165 kilometers from the Port of St. John, which provides opportunities to reach international markets overseas. 52 kilometers from Trans-Canada Highway, Canada's major cross-country transportation link. McAdam also has state-of-the-art rail connection going through the community. In addition, more than $18 million has been invested by NB Southern Rail in upgrades to the line since 2009, ensuring the safety of the line, making McAdam open for business. Workforce. McAdam also has a diversified and experienced workforce with skills in many aspects such as manufacturing, sales and services, including commercial operations, trades and equipment operators, forestry, and other endeavors. So whether you are looking to open an office, a store, or an industry, there is an excellent chance that McAdam has the manpower you will need, making McAdam open for business. Tourism in McAdam plays a role in maintaining and growing a strong local economy. Due to the McAdam Historical Train Station, a National Historic Site that has been preserved by the community and which was a winner in 2013 of Great Places to Visit. The Wauklahagan Lake Campground, itself a winner of Great Places and People's Contest in 2014 for the People's Choice Award, Public Spaces, and the euphoric natural scenery surrounding the community. Thousands visit the community each year. In fact, in 2015, tourist visits to the village increased by more than 300%. Another indication that McAdam is open amenities. For business. McAdam has many amenities that make the community ideal for all age groups. McAdam has a modern health center, a 32-bed nursing home, which was recently remodeled, making it a state-of-the-art facility, local emergency services, an elementary and high school, recreation facilities, restaurants, a strip mall featuring the best-known gun dealer in New Brunswick, and a top-notch grocery retailer. In addition, there are many local businesses ready to serve, making McAdam open for business. Lifestyle. McAdam has an exceptional lifestyle, which is rare in today's urbanized world. McAdam is a busy but quaint village that is settled in a picturesque landscape. It features opportunities to hunt, fish, trapping, boating, hiking, bird watching, photography, or simply sitting back and enjoying the great outdoors and the serenity of the community. Something for everyone, again indicating that McAdam is open for business. Low-placed homes in McAdam give the opportunity to buy, sell, or rent homes, maximizing investments while minimizing costs and risks. Furthermore, in the past year, real estate prices in McAdam have risen by 8%. Kate Robertson of Forbes magazine said, "By comparing average home prices and median household incomes in cities across the nation, we zeroed in on places where you will find the best bang for your buck. Low housing prices, combined with a higher than average income level, make anywhere in New Brunswick a great option for buyers looking for a deal." Land availability. Whether you are looking to build a home or establish a business, McAdam is the place to be. Currently, there are over 55 acres of affordable land available within the McAdam Industrial Park. Additionally, there are more than 90 acres of residential or commercial land available at attractive rates, making McAdam open for business. Utilities and low taxes. McAdam has one of the lowest property assessment rates in New Brunswick. Additionally, McAdam Village Council has given new businesses water and sewage services at no cost for 6 months after which the business opens. Village Council's willingness to work with new entrepreneurs demonstrates that McAdam is open for business. Recent developments. Recent development in McAdam has provided the community with economic growth while welcoming more. In the past couple of years, three new businesses have opened their doors. Slano Maritimes Incorporated has acquired investment to expand their production line and increase production capacity, creating new markets and new opportunities for the company, as well as employment opportunities for McAdam. Certain T. Gypsum has recently converted their operation to natural gas, indicating their commitment to their operation of McAdam. These two industrial operations are indicators of the diversity of McAdam's economy and proof that McAdam is open for business. Join the many others in starting or relocating to McAdam. Whether it is to live, work, or start a business, you will find that McAdam is open for business. For inquiries, questions, or for further information, please call 506-784-2293 or email us at villageofmcadam.nb.aibn.com or visit our website at www.mcadamnb.com
or our Facebook page, Village of McAdam.
I hope you found that video informative and interesting. That was actually a video that, as Becky mentioned, was created by a university student from McAdam and has been recently acquired by the Village of McAdam and is publicly available on the website for businesses who are looking to come to our community. Some of the content that you've seen in the slides will be referenced in some of the future information that will be presented tonight. My name is Carrie Little. I'm a mother of two who are in the school system in McAdam. I'm also a member of a local committee called the McAdam Community Action Committee, which was formed with the vision and mission of sustaining the way of life in our village. So the slides that we're going to look at in the next little while specifically address the policy requirements of policy 409A. And we'll touch on all of the elements that you see here, beginning with school enrollment. School enrollment, the requirement is that the DEC consider the impact of declining or low enrollments on the learning environment. In other words, is the enrollment reaching a critical threshold, or will it be dropping substantially over the next few years? Enrollment trends and projections must be considered. So you can see the enrollment information that we've received from the district from the years of 2007 to 2015. The first declining section that you can see here is a result of the change in catchment area. Back in 2007, there was a reduction made to the catchment area of the students coming to the McAdam schools, which changed, and as a result, those students were bused to Harvey instead. So you can see there's a bit of a negative change there as a result of that. The next change is a direct result of the out-migration of folks going to Alberta for work. Then you can see on the next slide here that there is a positive growth that's been projected. I guess the point that we want to make about the information and the trends that you can see on these slides is that indeed enrollment has declined. There is a projected positive incline that you can see. The enrollment has been impacted by a number of one-time factors. And unlike the majority of schools being studied for sustainability, enrollment at McAdam Elementary is actually projected to increase over the next few years. We believe that concurrent enrollment levels are adequate to enable an offering of all core educational services without any impacts on the learning environment. The next subject that is for consideration is impact on other schools, and Ryan will come up and speak to that one.
Good evening. My name is Ryan Wright. I'm a pharmacist and co-owns the local pharmacy with my wife, who's also a pharmacist, and I have a 15-month child, and I'm also building a new home in this community. So the impact on other schools is the impact on feeder schools and receiving schools. So if McAdam Elementary was to close, there wouldn't really be any impacts to the existing Highland school, sorry. So there'd be a requirement to create a safe bus drop at the location. The current location is within close proximity to a roadway. There's limited parking available for additional staff resources. So at the present, the parking lot is often full of vehicles during the normal school day. And then there would also be a requirement to create a safe and adequate play area for the elementary age children. So there's minimal room for expansion at the high school. There'd be an impact on the existing field and infrastructure. There would also be reduced availability of current resource facilities due to the increased usage requirements of the gymnasium, library, computer lab, and playground field. And then next we move into health and safety. So for policy 409, for health and safety, we have to look at the structural integrity of the buildings, the indoor air quality, water quality, circumstances that may present significant health or safety threats, fire safety systems, and safety and security of the school grounds and play area. So if we look at the school, hasn't had any significant capital investments for the last 12 years, only minimal maintenance, just basic maintenance for the last 12 years, essentially. But when parents go, when parents want to know that when their children go to school, that they'll be in a healthy, safe environment, McAdam Elementary provides that environment as a sprinkler system and fire doors are in place. The busing zone and the playground areas are separated from the roadways and the parking area. The water and sewer systems are also provided by the building. The building also has a fully accessible elevator and overall is in excellent shape. So next we'll be looking at the quality of education programs and services. So the appropriateness of the facilities for curriculum delivery and student services. This would include availability of facilities and diversity of educational programs and increased educational opportunities as a result of the closure, enrollment per grade or multi-level class, and pupil-teacher ratio at affected schools, as well as the ability to meet the needs of all students, including students with exceptionalities. So, essentially we'll be looking at whether the school is equipped to provide all these services to our children. So McAdam Elementary is equipped to provide all these services to our children. We have with the means of understanding to thrive in a more technologically based society through access to the computer lab. They use the integration of the smart boards, voice assist systems in the classrooms, creativity through art in the music rooms, the ability to combat type 2 diabetes with the gymnasium, keeping children physically active, and the other benefits that come with resource rooms, libraries, and kitchen facilities. The school is the school also cooperates greatly with the community, as it runs very deep. There's over 45 events in 2014. The playground, library, gymnasium equipment is well maintained and heavily supplemented by the community, and it's very much a community school. So this is a district school West Review of McAdam Elementary School, where they said that the staff, parent, and student conversations all indicate that the community culture of the school is exceptional. Many examples were cited by different groups, which suggests the school goes above and beyond to work with and support the community, and that is reciprocal. So next up we'll be looking at grade 2 reading, leftmost being McAdam, the Nakwik, Millville District, and the province. Over the years, McAdam has performed close to the district average with a drop in the final year at 2013 to 2014. That drop can be summarized with poor sample size to give a true estimate of the results. So next we'll be looking at that grade ahead of year, grade 3. So it talks about the very leftmost column, the reading level when they entered school in September 2014. And then the second column is your reading level at the end of school year, so June 2015. So the children who didn't reach their reading levels in grade 2 had significant improvements in grade 3, with 2 reaching 7 extra levels in improvement, 1 reaching 5 levels of improvement. And then the other children also reached their targets or surpassed them. So the literacy achievement rates from McAdam Elementary on par with district averages in 2013-14, though 42% were below the grade level, 42 were also above the grade level average, with 16% being at the recommended level. Significant improvements can be noted in the students not meeting the baseline levels, and they can easily be identified for additional support in smaller classroom settings. Then we look at grade 5 numeracy levels. Again, we follow the same setup with McAdam being the leftmost, Nakwik Millville district in the province being the rightmost. And then as you can see, McAdam has performed exceptionally well, head and shoulders above the district and the province, with 3 of the years being 100% at target level. And these slides kind of speak for themselves. Numeracy achievements for McAdam and Elementary are consistently above district provincial averages, with 100% of students achieving targets in numerous years. So in summary, there wouldn't be any discernible increase in educational opportunities as a result of the closure of the school. There would be no change in enrollment per grade or multi-level class as a result of the closure of the school. There would be no discernible change in pupil-to-teacher ratios as a result of the closure. There would, however, be reduced availability of facilities and related educational opportunities as a result of the closure of the school. And then next up will be Cheryl Cobb, I feel, over transportation.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cheryl Kopp. I'm a parent. I have three kids in the school system in McAdam. And I'm also a member of the PSSC at McAdam Elementary School. I'm going to be speaking about transportation and finance as applicable to Policy 409A. Transportation is defined by the time spent in transit and the cost of travel per student. Would closing the elementary school and moving the students to the high school have any impact on transportation? It would not. Our kids average 9 minutes on the bus, which is significantly lower than other students within our district. As you can see, most students spend more than 20 minutes on the bus. We travel an average of 4.5 kilometers, which is half the kilometers of most students that are bused. 23% of our kids are actually zoned for busing, compared to some schools, which are 100%. Our schools have the smallest catchment area in the province, and most of our students live within the village limits. Moving the kids from the elementary to the McAdam High School would have very little impact on the transportation portion of Policy 409A. Both schools are centrally located, and we have one bus that is shared by both the McAdam Elementary and McAdam High School. Thus, the costs applicable for each student will remain the same, minimal and substantially below average. Therefore, negligible savings related to time in transit or cost of travel in McAdam Elementary School if it were to close. Finance, as related to Policy 409A, wants us to consider the operating costs, including staffing and utilities, the physical condition of the building, the short and long-term capital costs and modifications required to move the students to the high school. We have minimal costs associated with maintaining our current school. The operating cost per square meter from McAdam Elementary School falls below the district average for K-5 schools. The annual facility costs are more than $20,000 below the average for schools within our district. Over the last 12 years, there have been no capital costs or investments put into McAdam Elementary School. The DAC has provided the estimates for future capital costs. These include a new furnace, because the current furnace was installed in 1982. The boiler may continue to work without any investments needed over the next few years. As for other investments, these could be easily deferred for the next 4 years. The staff in the community have done a great job maintaining the facility. The savings gained by closing the school would be minimal. For example, teacher salaries and water and sewer costs would remain, but greater investments would be required by the high school to accommodate the additional students. The impact would not solely be on the inside renovations, but outside areas as well. The McAdam Elementary School has a playground area and equipment that was donated by the Lions Club and is maintained by the village. The high school does not. This is minor, but a significant example of the changes that would be required. The annual operating costs to maintain the facility are below district average, and the financial impact of remaining with the status quo is significantly minimized by the excellent condition of this facility. We do not see any significant financial gain within the next few years for closing McAdam Elementary School. Thank you. Now next is going to be Mr. Doug Cox.
Cheryl said, my name is Doug Goss. I'm a counselor with the Village of McAdam and a retired school teacher, and I have no children in the the school at the present time. Both of my children attended here, though. I'm here to discuss Policy 409, Items 7 and 8, Impact on the Local Community and Economics. As the screen will show you there, it talks about parental involvement and the feasibility of continued parental involvement, community support, and the school's relationship with the community. First, I'll discuss the impact on the local community. Education within this community is delivered through two facilities, as you know, which naturally separates elementary from middle and high school students. Grade configurations in schools can have an impact on family perception of the quality of education received. A negative perception of educational quality within the village may impact the ability for major industries in the village to recruit and retain employees, and for the community to attract new businesses and new industries. The inability to maintain a skilled workforce in the area due to perceptions related to the quality of education in the village would have far-reaching consequences. For example, if one of the village's large employers were to leave the province as a result of these impacts, taxable revenues alone in excess of $2.5 million per year would be lost. The second policy I'm going to discuss is the policy that relates to Item 8, Economic Development. I'm sure that the DEC members are fully aware of that tenet, understand it. So we'll move ahead. Under economic development, let's consider the case for McAdam. We are well positioned for growth. Some of the points were raised in our video presentation and Open for Business, but just to re-emphasize for you, we are situated along the U.S. border with access to the U.S. market along the eastern seaboard that is second to none. We are the shortest rail access point in southwestern New Brunswick to markets in western Canada and the most accessible rail access point to the United States of America from Atlantic Canada. We are actively planning for growth. A phase one concept scope study for a McAdam economic development employment opportunity is currently being considered. Community leaders, governments, and other parents in southwest New Brunswick are taking action to position our region to build sustainable communities using a designated approach. This new position will be undertaken to attract newcomers to the area. McAdam is already growing. Let's consider a few facts. New housing stats. 2013, there were three. 2014, three as well. And 2015, five. These are not earth-shaking statistics. No pun intended there, folks, you know. But they're a pretty good indicator for a small community, and they show lots of potential. As does the number of persons or families already moving to the McAdam area, the McAdam Action Group, which Carrie referred to earlier, tracked the numbers. From May to December of 2014, six people arrived. And this year so far, well, we're up to 2015, nine have come. As does the recent expansion or investments in key industries, as noted in our video presentation, expansion at Lakeland, Salino, and Certainty Gypsum Plant. We believe McAdam will continue to grow. Our natural surroundings, the Lakeland of New Brunswick, the historical St. Croix River, and well-established outfitters operating in the region makes us a center for recreation year-round. And there are significant growth opportunities within 5 years, including restoration of the second floor of the McAdam Railway Station, creating hotel rooms, expanded operations, and the creation of many additional jobs, establishing a community residence by the McAdam Heart and Home Corporation, participating in a regional development strategy to boost residency and opportunities and employment in southwestern New Brunswick.
Good evening. My name is Trevor Flynn. I'm a parent within the community. I'm one of those people that moved back to the community. University educated is my wife. We could live anywhere in the province or in Canada, but have chosen to make our home here in New Brunswick, specifically in Macau. I have three boys, all elementary age, currently attending the school. So I want to talk a little bit about Policy 409, and I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing about Policy 409, and you've heard about it for years now, and you go to all these meetings, and everyone wants to talk about 409. And when I read Policy 409, I see that it currently considers three options. There's three options that we're looking at as part of the sustainability review. And one of those options are maintaining the status quo, capital investment in the school, which we don't often hear about as part of these reviews, as well as closing the school and moving those students. So, but to me, there seems like there's an obvious gap there. And it appears that this Policy 409 is focused on determining whether older facilities or unsustainable facilities should be closed due to high cost of operational maintenance for that specific facility. Options around whether the school should be fixed, students should be moved to another school, or whether things should be left status quo makes sense in that type of scenario where you have a facility that is old and falling down and in need of repairs and significant investments, capital investments to maintain it. But what happens if that school is actually in excellent shape? So government has imposed these triggers, and we know you guys are bound by these triggers as much as everyone else is. And they require you as a DEC board to consider these smaller schools for closure. And in many cases, this may be prudent action. We know there's a lot of smaller rural schools and unincorporated areas where enrollment has declined over the years, and there's no trend for it to go up anytime. It's tough to maintain a school in that type of environment, particularly when there's significant capital investment that's required to keep that facility going. But in instances where the facility itself is in good operating condition, it seems like there needs to be a fourth option that should be considered. And specifically, that option should be relocating other students to that facility, which is under review. So Macadam Elementary School itself is in excellent shape. And we know that through the review of the materials that presented. You guys know that through the review of the materials that presented. The fact that it hasn't had capital investment for years in terms of maintaining the environment itself shows that it's been kept up. So closing a cost-effective school while maintaining others, which may have higher enrollment, it may have a higher functional capacity, but in significantly worse condition, seems relatively short-sighted and potentially counterintuitive as part of a cost-saving exercise. And let's be honest, that's what this is. What we're going through in this whole piece of all these different reviews of a cost-saving exercise. So beyond what's included in the policy, we'd like to suggest that the DEC and the provincial department specifically as a whole looks to take a more holistic asset management approach. And this is something we've heard our leaders talk about in terms of asset management. We believe there's a number of additional items to consider, specifically the effective and efficient and enforced use of catchment areas. And the example which we had for this one was specifically related to some of the potential changes that were being put forward around the UHAs, even specifically around the busing costs and cross-district busing options. Having a school in a large center, which is full, when significant numbers of those children were being bused externally, while also reviewing schools within those external regions for potential closure, seemed a bit mismatched, and it seemed like one of those things to look at would potentially be checking the catchment area. So I know your last meeting in December, that report was presented from the CEO, talked about the different options. And in a lot of those scenarios, we actually had children that were being bused from farther away into the city of Leo Hayes, a school that was full, who now can potentially be shifted and bused to a closer school that's actually under review in terms of NACWIC, but also one that was recently looked at in terms of Stanley. So we feel that, particularly based on potential capital investments that are out there, that are on the radar, but also in terms of existing facilities under review that are in great shape, that it would make sense to step back, look at the environment as a whole, look at the busing as a whole, and look at the catchment areas as a whole. We know there's all kinds of different examples where we have students that are bused significant distances, and not necessarily to the closest school within their community. Specific to optimized busing, cross-district busing options, if we're talking about Macadam individually, We do know there was a change to a catchment area recently that did have an impact on the school. We also know that there are other schools under review, however, in other districts, and one specifically is Lawrence Station. And we don't know what the outcome of that assessment is going to be, but one thing that's not even being considered, because it is in a different district, and because the different districts don't necessarily have to talk and to do these type of reviews, there's a number of students that are serviced by the Andersonville Road bus, approximately 20, that are physically closer to McAdam than they would be to St. Stephen. So simply from a transportation cost alone, that's something that really should be looked at. And if there was a step back review of all the different catchment areas and all the different facilities, these are the type of things that would come to light. And we don't get into a situation where we had the potential of, in NACWIC, reviewing the combination of schooling to one or two facilities. Where now, with the Leo Hayes change, to save $7.4 million, which is significantly more than we're going to save by closing some of these rural schools, you may not have been able to complete that because the students that would have had to come back from Leo Hayes wouldn't have been able to be accommodated in that combined facility. So that would have been a huge lost option. Suggestion would be that all these things would take place in advance of any additional expansions or potential new builds. Specific example here being the potential for a school in the Hanlon Road. So it's just an option that's out there. We know it's one that's being reviewed. A lot of that is specific to Priestman Street because it was full. You have to do something about that. You need to expand it or you need to move those people somewhere else. One of the options is building a new school. That makes sense. But how many of those kids on the Hanwell Road are also close to a school like Harvard or a school somewhere else close by that maybe instead of moving to a new school, they could be shipped to the rep? Maybe an issue where Harvey gets full. Other side of Harvey, that catchment area can move back, and now you have a facility here, which isn't costing much to operate, $50,000 a year. You maintain that for how many years at the cost of $20 million for a new school? So if we're talking finances here, let's talk finances and let's talk property. So sound decision making is something that we can only do after we've considered all of the possible alternatives. We really want to encourage you guys, and I know this is something that's tough, because you guys are here as elected volunteers. You're being asked to perform a very hard job. But we would encourage you to push back on that and request the proper resources to have the proper studies done. So it's not you guys, it's not the district, it's not us. Get those independent third-party reports by pieces like Ernst & Young, who did this one for Leo Hayes. Mr. Noel, you made a great comment at the last meeting, but let's do this for all of our reviews. We encourage you to push for that, make sure you get the proper information, because there's nothing worse for a community to talk about, we need to save $150,000. We all understand we have budget problems. We all understand we need to save money. Everyone's willing to pitch in where it's needed, but no one wants to put in $150,000 here to spend $5 million needlessly over here. So let's just make sure we do it right. Thank you.
Mike? I'm pleased to have the opportunity to join this team tonight and to work with them in expressing some very important points of view. And my topic is why McAdam is different. No wonder it was left off the program. They were afraid it might not be the best thing to put on there. But in any event, I want to share with you some thoughts about that. And before I start, I'll probably stray a little bit away from the agenda because I want to first, as mayor of McAdam, I recognize the tremendous volunteer effort by the volunteers in the front row here and several others that are in this room tonight who have worked together since August of last year to work with the district superintendent and staff at district office and who has spearheaded the presentations that they've put together tonight. They have researched the documentation provided by the district. They've researched all the data that was available on the internet. And I think Trevor has researched everything across Canada. Because we have covered a tremendous amount of work, and this committee has met about every 2 weeks for the past 6 months. They deserve a hand for their tremendous work. Should have also mentioned that Becky and Tammy Boone, Becky McIntyre and Tammy Boone, spearheaded this group, and it wasn't easy. And they certainly, I now know who's running the Boone and the McIntyre households. The McAdam is different, and I've thought a lot tonight about starting this presentation and following the script that we've rehearsed several times. But I want to say a couple remarks that Trevor has stirred me to say. I remember standing up before a much larger audience at the McAdam High School a few years ago when the province of New Brunswick said that we are going to look after the land around McAdam. We know what to do with all of the Crown land and all the privately owned land. We have the right answers. I remember speaking at that meeting very strongly about them having the wrong answers, and I remember the minister at the time responsible for natural resources in New Brunswick was scared to death to come here, and I had to talk him into being here. And then when he finally realized that we were a safe group of people to talk to and to work with, he simmered down and we were able to make our points of view known. I don't feel that way at all about the school district tonight, nor about the team that's here representing us at all. But I do need to say that we have a voice because we are different. And we work together. And a small community, regardless of what it has or doesn't have, every piece of it is a contribution to the whole. And every little piece that you lose for one reason or another also devastates that whole. Small communities feel every pinch. And I was thinking as we were talking about 5 little housing starts. That must mean nothing if you're from Fredericton, I'm sure. But you need to know that means a tremendous amount to 9 new families moving here or to the kind of things that we do to work together. Because a village needs all of those pieces to survive and to work together. And I hope we're making that point clear, and I'll try to point that out as I tell you why we're different. McAdam was founded on industry. McAdam was founded on lumbering, which quickly moved to the business of railroading. But lumbering never left. But McAdam has always been an industrial center. We're off by ourselves, quite far removed from many other areas of New Brunswick, and you really have to have a wee bit of a drive through the woods to get to that last 25 minutes or 25 kilometers or so to get to this booming little metropolis that we call the best little village in New Brunswick. We know that industry plays a vital part to our lives here. We have industry. Yesterday, I had a few minutes to meet, and I am going to ramble because the time is lengthy. I've got okay. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to meet the grandson to John McAdam, the founder of this village, who was here to visit yesterday. And he was talking about his grandfather and all of those things connected to his founding this village in the days of lumbering. And how much money they had raised. He was giving the example that they boasted of being the greatest industrialist in Brunswick, way back in 1865, whatever it happened to be, because they had made profit $100,000 in 1 year. And I kept thinking about that, and I thought, boy, we've come a long way since then as this little community. We are a diverse mix of manufacturing and trades, and we have sales that from all that manufacturing that goes across the world. We have a first-class world manufacturing plant in this community that employs around 200 people. That plant directly and indirectly affects a lot of jobs. Not only the jobs that are here at the plant itself, but the transportation jobs, the maintenance jobs that come from elsewhere. It's a big impact in New Brunswick. That particular plant is not a standalone. It's a plant that's operated by a worldwide international company, and it has plants all over the world. In fact, if you don't know, The plant in McAdam is part of that plant that builds every item you would ever need to build any building today. They manufacture every product, to the screws to put the flush in, to the taps for your sinks. They manufacture everything. But McAdam makes the wallboard for them. We also have sales that go everywhere. We are continually forest-based, and we continually work in all kinds of trades. This community offers so much to so many, and we have great diversity. As mentioned earlier, we have over 215 direct jobs with 6 major employers. There are 45 additional jobs with 9 more employers that are operating small businesses. We have 260 direct jobs in this village, and they are important. They keep us all alive here, and those jobs are needed, and their children are needed, and they need to be here, and we need to make sure that we're providing every piece of support to make those work. Was mentioned earlier, just the loss of any one of those industries would be devastating to the tax base of this village. None of the jobs I've talked about include any government positions in this village. I'm not talking about teachers, schools, custodians, health centers. I'm not talking about any government positions at all. Those would be in excess what government jobs we do have here. We're not a bedroom community like many other areas that are smaller communities, particularly around Moncton, St. John, or Fredericton. We are a standalone community. It's going to happen. It's going to happen because we in this village make it happen. Other resources may help us to do it, but they're not going to be the leaders. If they are, it'll be a first, because we do it again. If we ever waited for someone else to come along to say, here is something for you, I don't think McAdam would be here today. It's because we generate it, we do it, we work together, and we know what we need to do to make our community a solvent, sustainable, and a good place in which to live. School populations in this village are very important to us because they really are comprised of the parents who raise families and live in this community. You already know busing is a small issue, transportation is a non-issue, and you know that we within the community depend on our growth and our ability to provide good services so we can have community schools. And community schools we have. I mentioned we are proactive. We don't depend on others to solve our problems. We take on our own challenges, so we make them work for us. We do have plans for several projects and initiatives that are being worked on at this time. The growth of our community has some opportunities before us that we haven't had for a while. We hope over the next 2 to 4 years to see some substantial changes in this village with growth opportunities that are there. McAdam is working very hard with many independent groups, individuals, current industries in the village, and government to try to make those things happen. And they don't happen easy, because we know, particularly at this time in our lives, the provincial government in this province is trying to deal with crisis, with no dollars. So it's difficult to look at growth opportunity unless they come from within us, not from outside. We continue to champion the advantages that we have before us, and we look at all the ways that we can engage ourselves and others to be proactive, that we can try to move our community in a positive direction. The last year, in 2015, we have seen greater growth in this village than we've seen for the last 10. And we have an increase in our population over the past year than we've had for about 7 years. So we are seeing some movement in this village in the right direction. We have always taken charge of our own destiny. In 2013, we formed a McAdam Community Action Committee. It consists of many people from the community and a lot of resources from outside the community. In this room tonight, I'm very pleased that we have a couple of folks here that are on and serve on that committee who don't live in McAdam. But they're here working with us in helping us to move this community forward to be sustainable in the days ahead. Those people are working together along with council, and the strategies that we are using are to make our community a better place to live, if that's possible, but to make us more sustainable and to see that we can continue to provide the services we need to provide to the people who want to live here. Because if you live in McAdam, you want to live here. You choose this to be the place to live. We are empowered from within, and we have the fortitude and determination to make things happen. We know what self-sufficiency is all about. We could write the book, because we know what it takes to make things work for ourselves, and we do just exactly that. One of the differences we have before us is a new era of growth and opportunity in tourism, something we've never had before. The acquisition of the railway station about 10 years ago has been a slow, arduous task. It's been a project that we've worked at in our spare time in trying to move a project forward that we believe has potential for growth and opportunity. We've shared some statistics with you before on the number of visitors that we have seen at the railway station since 2011 and up to 2015. The growth has been phenomenal. We are increasing the opportunities we have there, and we now know that we do have an icon which is second to none in this country. It's certainly the star performer in New Brunswick. 8,000 visitors visited the village of McAdam in the month of December. 8,000 people made Christmas highlights in this village by attending either Christmas tours, Christmas dinners, Christmas activities, and many hundreds and hundreds added to our population took in one of the best Santa Claus parades held in this province. We know we can do it. Going to feature with you now a trailer that's been produced. I want to talk about it just for a minute. We hope this is going to work. We have a gentleman from Fredericton, you may know him, Mark Walma. And I'm going to share this a minute because it's a Fredericktonian who says McAdam's the best spot too. He has written four books now called The Abigail Stories. They're based on the ladies particularly who worked at the McAdam Railway Station in the 1940s. The books are very popular. He offered to write one, interviewed some folks in McAdam that used to work at the railway station, some older ladies, and some of those folks are no longer living. His mother was with him in the car, actually, when he first saw the railway station, and she yelled and screamed as he was driving by. He now works for the Department of Health in Fredericton, and he was driving from Ontario to McAdam, driving through to look at Fredericton to buy a house to start his employment. When his mother saw the station, she screamed so loud he hit the brake and nearly ditched the car. But he got stopped in time to look, and she said, "Look at this building, you've got to go see it." She came into the station at the time with him, talked to one of our summer tourist staff who was working there at the time, who gave him a quick look around the building. Mark's mother said to him, "You have got to do something to help these people to get this building opened and further enhanced him and all the rest." So he promised her he would. He was a writer in his spare time. And with his sister, who does a great deal of artistic work, they entered in writing the first book, the first Abigail book. Featured four stories about McAdam. The book, he thought we should print 100 copies. So after we sold the first 500, we then printed 2,000 more. And now I think we're in about 10,000 of that book, and we printed 3 additionals with equal numbers of copies. The book is now being considered for a production of a play, and the books are also being considered for a highlighting of some feature movies that may be produced. And you're going to see a trailer. Never knew what a trailer was, but I hardly knew what a computer was. A trailer apparently is a highlight feature of a short little version showing you what the McAdam Station is. This trailer is now in Ottawa, where it's being viewed by government, and also by the artists in Ottawa, some of the founding groups, who are looking at producing a series of 12 short, one-half-hour television shows called Abigail. So the trailer is not of good quality. The sound, I think, is not the best. Am I right, Trevor? You may have trouble, but it features what Abigail could be to McAdam. And if we're looking at, do we need to?
We have a clear budget. We have done more than any country will do for establishing it. The situation in which no word given by Germany's ruler could be trusted, and no people or country could feel itself safe, is becoming intolerable. And that constant death.
McAdam is being called the Anne of Green Gables of Prince Edward Island. This is an opportunity that also is before us right now, that we see many new jobs and a great deal of growth for our village. Signs and growth are evident in this village, and we believe the schools play a major role in continuing to provide that service that's needed to attract people to live in McAdam. Tourism is a lead role for us. We know we have new housing starts, and we know we have new residents. We believe the next 2 to 5 years are going to mean considerable growth in this village, and we believe McAdam Elementary School needs to be part of that growth over the next 2 to 5 years. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dean McIntyre, and I have 2 children who attend McAdam Elementary. And basically, I'm the last speaker of the evening. I'm here to close things up and recap and review the topic areas that everyone else has covered. Our committee has worked hard to look at both options and determine which was best for the long-term future of our village. And we'd like to thank the DEC for listening to our proposal. And we'd like to issue a challenge to the DEC. We need your help. As our elected representatives, you have power to make and shape policy. And we need you to lobby for changes to policy 409. Why is the policy focused only on student population numbers and functional capacity? These triggers will devastate rural New Brunswick. Why are we reviewing schools in silos, district by district? And why are we not adjusting catchment areas or district boundaries to utilize existing assets? 2 schools have been reviewed this year, approximately 36 kilometers apart, and yet they are looked at in isolation because of district boundaries. A school is the foundation which a community is built on. It is the centerpiece of any small community. It attracts and maintains families. We need you to carry a message to the Minister of Education and the government of New Brunswick. Closing schools will not lead to positive growth in the province of New Brunswick. Our presentation tonight has demonstrated the viability of McAdam Elementary. And we've created a report card to summarize our presentation. Get some helpers here. This report card was somewhat of a self-assessment that we did on McAdam Elementary, and we like to keep things simple. So we'll get you a copy of the presentation when we're done, but if there's one piece of paper that you hang on to from McAdam Elementary, this is the one. So we'll get them to come around. believe everyone on the deck has one, and they're our guests tonight, so if you're prepared, we'll start. So you'll see item number one on our report card of McAdam Elementary was enrollment, and we gave that a B, because we all understand that enrollment is what's brought you folks to town tonight. Because we dropped below the trigger of 100 students, that has triggered us for review. So what our takeaway from that, we gave it a B, because our student population has decreased, but indicators show that things will be stabilizing and we may see a slight increase in the future. The next item was impact on other schools. We gave that as well a B. Assuming that McAdam Elementary was to close, we would create a K-12 in the McAdam High School. This arrangement in one building would present a challenge to access available resources, library, gymnasium, computer lab. Number three was health and safety. We gave that an A+. This building is in excellent condition, has municipal water, a sponsored playground with top-notch equipment. Quality of education, programs, and service. We gave that an A+. We have a great staff here, we have a positive learning environment, and the one quote that I love that I want to review is from the 2015 school review team, found that community culture of the school is exceptional. The school goes above and beyond to work with and support the community. The next one was transportation. We gave that an A+. We have one bus. Most students live within walking distance of the school. We have one of the lowest transportation costs in the province. Finances, A+. We're below district average in cost per square foot. We're below district average in annual facility costs. We've had no major capital expenditures over the last 10 years, and current capital expenditures listed have not been a priority up to this point. Impact on local community. Now this one has an asterisk. The municipality has established an industrial base and a plan for future growth over the next 3 to 5 years. Closing McAdam Elementary could have an effect and curtail this potential growth. Local industry will be looking to recruit new and younger employees to replace an aging workforce. The perception of education quality at a K-12 may affect this, thus placing industries and local jobs at risk. So with the current status of an elementary school and a high school, I'd say McAdam has an A to an A+. If we were to go to K-12, we'd probably have to downgrade that to a D. Economic development. McAdam gets an A there. Over the last 10 years, private and public organizations have recently invested millions of dollars into local infrastructure. In 2005, we had $5.1 million invested in the village in a new municipal water system. We've had upgrades to the McAdam High School soccer field, Lakeland Sheltered Workshop, CertainTe, and it was hard to notice with the snow on the road coming in tonight, but Highway 4, we've had new sidewalks and drainage upgrades. In closing, McAdam has a recovery plan. We just need time to implement it. We need a chance to stabilize and foster some growth. We have a school that is in good condition, meets all standards, and has a positive learning environment. By all of the Policy 409 measures, McAdam Elementary is clearly a sustainable school. We are asking for status quo. We need to ensure that McAdam Elementary does not get lost in facts and figures, and we don't forget about the hearts and minds that will be directly affected by this decision. Thank you.
To our fellow deck members, just wondering if there's any questions. Of course, we will have this presentation and we'll be able to review it. Everyone's so good, that's awesome. Well, great. Okay, so if there's no questions, again, we want to thank you for the presentation, and we do have a copy of that, or that'll be given to Mr. McTimony before he leaves. Okay, good. So that'll be included, and I just want to remind you that there are still ways to communicate with the deck, and obviously the website, email, all that information. If you need it, then see Carol or Mr. McTimony. And we still have to go through all the data, and as you know, we have a meeting scheduled for later in January. So with that, we want to thank you again for your hard work and your presentation. We want to thank the community for being here, and of course, our fellow council members and district staff for being here. Thank you for making us feel welcome, and thank you for giving us lots to think about. Thank you.